Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. I'm Natalie Reyes, and today we have with us dancer and choreographer Aoi Nakamura, who will be talking about her project WIST, which is an interactive dance that merges physical theater and virtual reality. Welcome, Aoi. Thank you very much for joining us. To begin, could you please explain to our listeners what the project WIST is about and what does it consist of?
Hello, Natalie, and thank you for inviting me here.
Thank you.
And I am a choreographer and dancer of, and artistic director and founder of AE. And the company is always inspired by how we can bring the audience in the middle of the production, and how we can bring the audience, or how we can feel audience to feel how we feel on stage as a dancer or performer. We go through so many journey of feelings and emotions and lots of states during the piece, and we wanted to audience to feel that the same, and that they're going to be the middle. And in WIST, we explored the virtual reality and how we can merge virtual reality, augmented reality, and set an art installation and physical theater. Of course, the core of the piece, how we start from the body, it's the core, and the 3D sound, and it is interactive storytelling in a way that during the film, that depending on where you look at in the film, will determine the path of the story. So the audience has an individual experience at the end of the story. And also it merges, brings the psychoanalysis layer, because this piece was inspired by Sigmund Freud's case studies. And we took a lot of inspiration from his three famous real patients' life, which is Dora, Little Hans, and Wolfman. Mm-hmm. And also we worked with a psychoanalyst from Freud Museum London called Emilia Laskowska. And she also worked with us quite a lot, and she made us inspire by a lot of his case studies. And yeah, an audience entering the room. The experience is audience entering the room, which hold 9 objects, which act as a marker to trigger the VR film.
Okay.
And the experience is an hour long, and the participants shift in between reality and virtual. So, yeah.
That's really interesting. And do you think that what came first? Did you want to explore the Freudian subject, or did you want to explore virtual reality? I mean, was it that you decided to go with virtual reality to explore this subject, or the other way around?
The initial idea was in 2013, when we were inspired by the Minotaur of the Greek mythology, which wasn't at all linked to Freud. But and then deeper investigating the theme of Minotaur and the story of Minotaur, that became we could link into the fears or the monsters, and that led us to Uncanny, and then that led us into Freud's work. And then 2014 we met VR, where the Oculus came.
Yeah.
And on TV, I saw on TV program in Japan that the person was trying the roller coaster game, and we were really amazed how this technology could immerse the audience, and they were completely engaged. You know, they were falling over and and really felt like riding a roller coaster. So we thought, oh, this technology could do something with it, and then we decided to look into it. But for us, it's not really inspiring to do, because the technology is cool. We need something to work with. That's why we kind of waited for the concept to come,
okay.
And then So we were linking into Minotaur and virtual reality, but and then, okay, virtual reality, reality, real and dream, unconscious and conscious. Then we came up, okay, this must be Freud. So
that's
we went
good.
To the yeah. Freud Museum.
It's like it needs to be justified why you use this technology,
yeah.
right, in, within the concept
yeah.
of the choreography.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to ask you if you could explain the user experience for someone who hasn't seen the project. Like, okay, you put on the Oculus Rift, then you have to decide, then what happens in the film, or just a brief explanation of what's the user journey, so the audience has an idea of what WIST is really, what it feels like, even though they won't be able to experience it by listening.
Yeah. Of course. So the audience journey is you will be given a headset, via headset, but before that you will be entering in a room, looking into the objects. It's an art installation. But inside the VR, you will come back to the reality through a camera feed. And because we are doing this experience with the Gear VR headset,
yeah.
so you can look through the camera feed in reality, and you need to choose one of the objects to trigger the film, 360 film. And during the 360 film, you choose which path you are going to follow. And depending on, we created an app how to calculate where they are looking at the most will lead into the next scene. And then, so again, they're going to come back to the reality after watching one, two scenes, and then going to another object, trigger the film, and then come back to reality. This will be like 3-4 times to do until the end of the story, one story.
Yeah.
And then they will be given a number that they can type into the website and see their journey of the psychoanalysis, which analyzed by the Emilia from Freud Museum. Yeah.
That is incredible. So you're mixing also the VR, the objects, the art installation, the dancing, and also the website.
Yeah.
So at the end, you get like your personal journey that you created.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting that you said that the narrative or the story branches according to the object they see and to to which way they are looking at in the film, correct?
Yeah.
So it's like
yeah.
a myriad of possibilities
within exactly.
the narrative. Can you talk about the creative process and how did you choreograph for an interactive experience like this, and how did you create these different scenarios for the viewer?
Yeah, we had a deeper research into the context and seeing these three different case studies, we wanted to bring these three case studies as a one family. And that made us think of creating a different narratives and needs of different narratives. And that made us creating a branches of making multi-narrative storytelling in a parallel, at the same time, in a parallel world. Mm-hmm. And that led us also linking into the real and the digital layer, like 360 film and the audience journey. And there we found the needs of art installation. So we brought the collaborators who designed and created the set, who is James Shaw.
Okay.
And during the creation process, we had to think and work with all the collaborators in parallel for the old elements, VR, AR, set performances, and 3D sound. Most importantly, the participants' board journey in real and digital. So for technology production, a technical side, we partner up with a London-based company called Happy Finish, and set is designed by James Shaw, as I said, and Josef van Bissem, who won the Cannes Award, and the Scott Gibbons. These are the two composers who created the original soundtrack. And then London-based 1.618 Digital made that soundtrack into the 3D soundscape.
Okay.
And then Emilia was, psychoanalyst, was analyzing the journey of the participants. So, it was quite a lot of layer, but and had to go all in quite parallel in order to proceed, because one wasn't ready, then the other wasn't going.
Can imagine. So it was very collaborative, the process.
Yeah.
How was it different to choreograph for this? How can you compare? And how was the process different besides all the collaboration and the coordination with other partners? But, you know, the process of just the choreography of the dance, how was it different?
Yeah, our biggest challenge was to think to bring all the elements and collaborations together.
Yeah.
And yeah, as I said, if one was not ready, then we only could imagine. But in real, if we see, then we get more inspired by another direction. But that is the beauty of the collaboration and creation, that we never know where we end up and go into somewhere really unknown. And yeah. Regarding the audience, choreographing the different way of the audience, I think we always make us free to think how the form or shapes of the production will be, but the core is we are interested in to explore how participants can be active in the experience, and if they are not there, then the story doesn't go on. Mm-hmm. If someone is not wearing the headset, then the story doesn't go. Mm-hmm. And that was something different than the other productions, for example, where we create a stage performance, the performers perform, and it will go on, even if there is no audience, as well as the immersive theaters. Well, those live experiences, the performance will go on, but the with doesn't if they are not experiencing and if they are not turning the page of the book, as an example. And yeah, in WIS we explore to move the participants' body in the room, mm-hmm. as well as around the objects. How they move how they have to trigger the scene is linked to how we want the participants to watch the 360 film, and always kept in mind how the audience body position will be. And so we created the different levels of the object. One is big, one is small, one is middle layer, or one have to go crouch down, or one have to look inside, because we wanted them to watch us like that. And that's why the camera angle of the film is quite linked into how the audience, we want them to watch. Mm. Yeah.
It's really interesting, because at some point you want them to have agency in the story, so it depends on them, even the choreography, and as you say, the performance depends on them, on their interaction. But at the same time, you wanted to guide them a little bit, or make them move in a certain way, or see in a certain way. So I think it's interesting that you are using both the art and the choreography and the technology to generate these emotions and feelings in the audience. So is that something that you think it's interesting about using VR and technology and augmented reality?
Yeah.
You can actually make people feel something, or you can guide them into.
Yeah, I think the technology can expand our expressions, and we are not... We didn't think to create something always with technology, but we somehow end up always using or needing of technologies to come in and into the creation. We are going through next piece. We are thinking to create something with the technology again, not VR, but something else. Mm. But still we want to use. And technology is so into our everyday life, and it is new. I think it is really important that we bring this into dance and performing art, to bring new audiences into art as well. As, for example, the brother of Esteban never got interested into dance performance, even if... Esteban is my partner, who also co-founder of A.
Yeah.
And if Esteban was dancing one of the most famous choreographers in Europe, But oh. when he, the brother of Esteban, heard that we are creating, the Esteban's brother never came to see his performance, even though they were, he was dancing for the one of the best choreographers in Europe. But when he heard that we were creating with VR, then suddenly he got interested in and said, "I will come and see your show." So yeah, I think that that can attract a lot of new audiences, which we need to do, and the art is for everyone. So yeah, it should be general, as not only the art audiences. And yeah. for that, I think we just need to open the door to people to come in. And once people know what it is, then they would watch more, hopefully. I think it has to initiate just a bit, I think. Yeah.
That's really interesting. So in this project, you are attracting new audiences, as you said, and also... Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting that you want to center the experience on the viewer. You always yeah. want to do that in your projects, and you say that in yeah. this case VR allowed you to do it, or you wanted to explore mm. to create that.
Yeah.
How did you find it difficult to balance the dancing and physical experience with the interactivity? Was it was there a point that you felt, okay, I'm this project is being led by the technology more than the artistic part of it? Or how did you balance that?
Yeah, we didn't think. I think the research and development period of that became creation of the performance was shorter, much, much shorter than the creation of the post-production. Mm-hmm. That I don't know if participants felt that technology is more than the performance, but that's what we always don't want to do that. And we want to merge the technology and performance as organic as possible, and as the technology is becoming the part of the piece, not the piece. So we never think of, I don't think so. We didn't have what technology is really, because we are not programmer. We are yeah. not working on this production every day. And we didn't know. That's why we came from somewhere else without no boundaries or limits of thinking of what they can do. That's why we try to go beyond the technology and bring in the technology into the production. So I never thought of taking the technology took over the piece or the production.
That's really good. Yeah, you yeah. kept a good balance between, or a good harmony between
yeah,
the components.
I think so. That's what we always want to do. The art installation, as well as the technology, as well yeah. as the performance, as well as the 3D sound, always has to balance and became one, and has to echo each other. And yeah, that's why I think we kept quite minimal in the performance as well, because we knew the performance, the filming of the performance, creation of the performance came at the beginning of the creation process.
Okay.
And because we knew that there is a art installation, there is adding so many layers,
yeah.
we quite kept simple and slow, because we wanted to add all the VFX and the yeah. VR, and everything will be, the audience or the participants will be bombarded by the information.
Yeah.
So we kept in mind that there is a lot of elements in it. And yeah, I think we were quite happy how
yeah, well, I was able to experience a bit of your film. Sadly, yeah. not all of it. And I yeah. hope I can do it at some point. But yeah, you're right. It didn't feel overwhelming. So I think you really, it felt like an experience that I wanted to be in, but I didn't feel felt overwhelmed by it. So
yeah.
I think you really, managed that.
Yeah,
really
I
well.
Think many of the audience says, that was so short. And for example, I thought being inside the VR such a long time, might be too much for the participants, but no, they were like, ah, that's it. They want to explore more.
That's good.
They want to do 10 times more. And I can do it over and over again. And
you left
it was amazing.
More, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Because you don't see all the scene either. So that also triggers the interest, I think. Yeah.
I read in the website that you have 76 different perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, how did you create the story? Did you create it based on the possibilities, or that the possibilities came after? So
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but a possibility came completely after, because we were
mixing.
Exactly. Yeah. Or we were deciding which scene has to go where and there and there. And then that led us into creating a path. Took quite a long time. At the beginning, we knew the structure, how roughly.
Yeah.
But, and then as we go on the post-production process, then we had to kind of shift the scenes, different placement, and then how the audience will trigger the inside the scene, we had to change. So yeah, it came at the end that became 76. Before it was much less, but then it came more and more because.
That's really good.
I think it was a nightmare for the programmer.
I can't imagine. For this part, did you do any user testing, or did you change anything of the experience according to any feedback that you had?
Yeah, we really, throughout the creation process, we had more than 12 demo events, over 2,000 audiences, and gathered lots of feedbacks from each event.
Oh.
And when it came to the demo or prototype of our experience with the AI and VR elements in it, we realized that we had to make this experience easy to understand and fun.
Mm.
At the beginning, when they wear the headset, and if we don't explain anything, you don't know what to do. If we explain by mouth, it was too much information, they couldn't digest, so the participants couldn't understand what they have to do. So we went slowly exploring what is the best to tell the people how to experience, and fun and easy. We also struggled to trigger the 3D objects, because it was never done before, the AR, VR triggering the 3D objects, and also had problem with long loading time, difficult to explain the rules of the experience. And so, yeah, we explored what is the best way. And yes, we had to adapt the participants' feedback, and we also value always to listen to those comments. And I think that testing with or having a moment to share and getting a feedback, also the critical feedbacks, is something to go forward.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's crucial in these kind of experiences.
Yes,
especially
yes,
if you want to, if your protagonist is the viewer in a way.
Exactly. Right? So they are the person who is making the story in a way. Yes. Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to ask you is that if you feel that the technological possibilities influenced or changed the way you choreographed, or was it the other way around? Was it that you used the technology according to pre-built scenarios? So I wonder if the technology made you change anything in your process, in your regular process, or the other way around?
Yeah, I think, yes, it changed one way or the other. Even from our side, we were also needing this technology to do that and that and that, even they never explored, the Happy Finish never explored. So we asked to create something for us as well as the technology sometimes limited us to do.
Mm.
Back in 2014 or 15, we couldn't make the audience move in the film. We wanted the audience to freely move in the film as well as the physical, but there's no budget for that either. We had to, I don't know, so we couldn't do that, for example, just as an example. But Yeah, so limitation of the technology made a limit during the creation process, I think. Yes, that led into somewhere else. But that was one of the most important, interesting or exciting moment, that we faced the problem, then we had to create one, because that time there was, and neither now, there's no solution for each one of the thing that we wanted to create, but we had to go around it and being creative about it and how we can, make something new. And that was a very exciting process, I think, for all the collaborators as well.
That's really good. You mentioned that you would like to use another type of technology in the future in another project. What kind of things would you like to do, and how do you think that technology can be used in dance and theater?
As I said, the technology can expand the audience experience during the production or the dance and the other arts, performing arts scene. Yeah. And for next production, we are thinking of exploring the sensation and how audience can feel, rather than, in VR, it was very much without no feeling, but body contact, except the movement of the audience body. But we wanted to, next one, we want the audience to feel, and how we can make it, as organic as possible again.
That's really good.
It's
really interesting to see how you can mix all different things together and create projects like WIST.
So I think we have to close the podcast now, but do you have any closing thoughts or any insight, final insight that you would like to share with the listeners?
We made this production to show as many people as possible, because of the technology, it's very portable and you just send the file and the audience can explore. Well, we have an art installation, but this art installation can flat packed, and that can send to really easy for the transport, compared to the traditional dance pieces, which you have massive set, you have so many performers to take, and then that the cost adds up a lot. But we wanted to make this piece as portable as possible, and then traveling as many places as possible. So we are touring in London from 23rd of June to 25th of June. That is the start of the summer tour. And then after, we are going to Bournemouth, and then Edinburgh, Stuttgart, Brighton. So I hope people can come and enjoy the experience as much as possible. And we are going to tour again from September onwards. So
that's really good. So I'll share the links and the information in the podcast, so the listeners can visit that.
Yeah. So, that'll be great.
Aoi, thank you very much for making the time to share these great insights about your project and your experience creating it. I think it's a truly innovative and interesting project that makes us think different about how we can experience theater and dance, and how technology can be used for creating different journeys and scenarios. So I think it's very thought-provoking and inspiring. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you want to share with us any website or any Twitter ID or anything, so people can find you online.
Yeah, we are on website aoiestevan.com, and our ID for Facebook and Twitter is aoiestevan, Aoi Esteban, which
Great.
Is most directed.
Perfect. I'll share it as well in the podcast publication. So thank you very much again, and